It's flowing in your life. In another scripture, Jesus will drink from these living waters, and out of his own innermost being, the old King James says, out of his belly will flow rivers, plural, of living water. How many of you know a lot of Christianity is dehydrated? We're doing a lot of things, but we're not drinking very heavy. We ought to be heavy drinkers. I've said that many times. Amen? We ought to be heavy drinkers. Unfortunately, much of American Christianity is real heavy in drinking the carnality of the world instead of drinking of the things of the Spirit of God. We're trying to satiate something that only God can satiate within your heart. Amen? Still there? So Jesus prays this prayer. Turn to John 17. He prays this prayer in John 17 for us, for the disciples, and all who will believe in him. And then he says something interesting in verse number 3. Look there with me. He said, and he's praying to the Father. He said, this is eternal life. Now, guys, here's the definition of eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know him. I mean, you know, that really is why he saved you. Yes, he doesn't want you to burn in hell, but he wants you to know him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. This knowing, he wants, remember the apostle said, I know him in whom I have believed. Don't stop at believing. Press into knowing. Amen? To know the Lord. You know about him and you believed in him and you got saved. But now the call in your life is to know him in intimacy. To experience him. To see him. To have a relationship with him. Amen? I mean, I love the Bible, but he didn't even call you to have a relationship with this book. Not a book, but the living word. Amen? And that's what he's called us to do. And so we really need to understand that as we move forward in what God's asking from us. Abundant life begins now. Come on. Abundant life begins now. It ought to be increasing in our lives, in all honesty. But I think sometimes we're lacking some of the devotions that cause us to have those breakthroughs. It doesn't mean, now when I talk about this, it doesn't mean that Jesus didn't mean we wouldn't have tribulation. In fact, he said we would. Or that we would not be persecuted. We would not have troubles. We will have troubles because we live, what, in a dark and fallen world. Amen? We have an adversary who's seeking whom he may desire. There's no doubt about that. We still have an enemy. But here's the thing. Jesus said, don't fear because I've overcome the world. Amen? In fact, through Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him. He's called us to overcome and he freely gives us all things. Somebody say amen. Now, that's, you need that today. The life that Jesus gives, the peace that Jesus gives, the joy that Jesus gives is supernatural. It's not the life and peace and joy of the world. It's something supernatural that comes in and by the Holy Spirit to flow in a believer's life. Amen? And it's sustaining power in our lives to press us through any battle that we may face or any storm as we were singing today. Amen? Amen? This is how I fight my battles. I don't fight my battles staying away from the well. I fight my battles drinking deeply from the well of God. Amen? And you do that in your worship and your praise and your prayer life before God. Many and most believers are not partaking of the abundance that Jesus has freely given. Now, I'm not talking about a salvation issue. Nobody misunderstand me. I'm not saying, you know, if you're not having abundant life flowing through you, that you've lost your salvation. Your salvation is the gift of God to you by grace through faith. Amen? So everybody with me, you can't perform for it to get it. How many are glad you're saved by grace through faith? But also, the rest of the promise is you can have abundant life. Amen? Don't just taste a little bit of life and never drink of it again. The minute I get back to Memphis, one of the first things I do is go get barbecue. Because Memphis is known for it. I don't want to talk about it the rest of my life. I want to partake of it when I'm there. Amen? Hallelujah. Person, you can tell. But anyway. Hallelujah. Here's my point. I think a believer, and I want this in my life, a believer should have a zeal, a hunger, a thirst for more of the things of God. Should we not? I mean, we ought to be like, man, I just can't really be fully satisfied until I drink of the well, you know? We're like that in services, aren't we? We want God to do something special and wanting to pour out. But you know what? It would be like going to a buffet and paying for your entry fee and just sitting there staring at it. Amen? I prepare a table before you, the Lord says. But do we ever go and partake of it? We just talk about the table and sing about the table, but we won't even drink from it. And a lot of people won't. And a passivity is set in much of Western Christianity. There's a passivity of just kind of sit back and give me another message. Do you really need another message? What we need is the living waters of God. Amen? To flow in our lives. Look with me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Everybody say, do not be deceived. Say it again. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, everybody understand what sow means? Whatever he invests himself into, right? That could be anything from farming to what you do with your time and your money. Whatever you sow, this you will reap. How many of you found this out in life? If you sow kindness and love and things like that, you'll reap it back in your life. Amen? Right? If you sow your finances into the kingdom, you'll reap a harvest of blessing back. Amen? And it's just the way it works. But look what he says here. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Now what does that mean? You may have some benefit to sowing into the things of the flesh in your life, but how many know when it's all said and done, it's temporary. Even the little bit of joy you might get, or the good feeling, or whatever, or the satisfaction, it never lasts, does it? The flesh will never satisfy you, for the flesh is corruptible. Are you with me? But look what else he says, though, to encourage us. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the same Spirit reap what? Eternal life. Well, what did Jesus say eternal life was? Knowing God. You, as you sow into the things of the Spirit, you grow in your experience with God and your knowledge of God. And I'm telling you, I'm more convinced than ever, not because I went to Bible college, I'm more convinced than ever that I know my God because I've experienced Him in worship and in prayer and in pressing into the things of God and in the Word of God. It has changed my life. That's why I can't go back. I'm not easily persuaded to change my mind about what I know. Are y'all with me? And yet I struggle too with allowing myself to become spiritually dehydrated. Right? That's a common problem here in the desert, is it not? People get dehydrated. And they find out that's all they need. The doctor just says, you just need to start drinking more water. Isn't that right, Melissa? But, you know, but I know people, you know, she was having, anyway, Melissa's pregnant, I guess you all know that, and she was kind of worried, and they said, really, all you need to do is start drinking more water, and you're going to be fine, and sure enough, all the pains and cramping went away, and she's doing good. And my point is, I know some people that have been sick, and that's all the doctor told them to do. They hooked them up to an IV, gave them some fluids, and they walked out of there like a new man. It's amazing what, well, imagine what living water does to the soul of a Christian. Imagine what living water does, amen? It refurbishes us and revives us. That was that word. It refreshes us. Hallelujah. That's good, Rick. Okay. Amen, Rick. If we will invest our time and our passion into the things of God, I like this word, devotion, to be devoted to the things of God, we'll know Him more. That's the promise of Scripture. Don't be deceived. If you're not investing yourself spiritually into those things, you're not devoted to those things, it's no wonder we're struggling spiritually. Again, I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm just saying you're not getting the benefit of the abundance of life. If you look in the book of Acts, it said that they were continually devoted to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to these things. And the Bible says, and among them there was a sense of awe. And signs and wonders were taking place. And it was amazing. And it got to one point, it said they continued in their devotion day by day. Everybody say day by day. And day by day, the Lord was adding unto their number. I want us to get so saturated with God that God's adding to our number day by day. Amen? We don't have to wait for a Sunday to see someone else come into the family of God. Amen? And there's something about that that we need to believe for. A devotion means, it speaks of love, speaks of loyalty, it speaks of commitment, and even enthusiasm. If you're devoted to something, you'll have enthusiasm, you'll have love and loyalty and a commitment to that person or thing, will you not? And we need to have a devotion to the things of the Lord. And I believe if you look at the church in the book of Acts and you look at how they lived, and the Bible goes to detail to show us what their devotions were. And I just want to share with you four areas of devotion that will result in overflowing abundant life. Number one, we must be devoted to worship and prayer. Guys, that's our communion with God. When we sing and we pray and we press into God, I'm telling you, that's your life source with God. Are y'all with me? Are you with me? It's the most important thing. Jesus said the Father is looking for worshipers. Those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. Amen? And so that's so important for us. The thing about it is, it would be like, I don't know how to describe it. Let's say, you know, you're so parched and you're so thirsty and you see that water cooler over there, but you never go over there and get anything out of it. Right? It's like that. There's so many times, if you've got a drink, amen? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it, right? And I'm telling you, it's kind of like that with a lot of believers. We need to drink, amen? Of the fullness of God and be devoted to a lifestyle. The Bible says in Colossians, keep seeking the things above. Set your heart and your affections. In other words, be devoted to heavenly things. Because that's the secret to have an impact in the earthly realms for the kingdom of God. Amen? Secondly, the area of devotion to the Word of God. Amen? But can I tell you, I love the Bible, the Scriptures, but the Word of God is a person. John declared at the beginning of the Gospel of John that Jesus was the Word that was made flesh. Amen? This Word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Are you with me? He didn't say, I want you to abide and be devoted to my Word as a student or a scholar. That will never bring life to you. Amen? We struggle with that in the Western world because that's how most of us approach everything. And God's calling you into the experience of His Word. Amen? To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Not that you just have a notebook of different ideas. You think differently because of the Word of God. Amen? And as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Hallelujah? She was sharing about identity. It's a real problem to stand up and talk about how you're nothing but a sinner all the time. You need to start to declare, I'm no longer a slave of fear. I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. It'll change the way you walk. Amen? But if we're strangers to the Word, Jesus said this. He said, if you abide in my Word, you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and this truth will make you free. Hallelujah. You can get free without nobody even confronting a demon in your life through the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the power of the Word of God. We need to be devoted to that. But can I tell you, of these two things that I just mentioned, these two areas, we all need to be devoted to this in our personal intimacy with God, right? In our alone time with God, our secret place of prayer, whatever you want to call it. But I'm telling you, the third area they were also devoted to was these very things in the corporate gathering. Gathering together with one another. The Bible calls it fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Fellowshipping together with your spiritual family. The church is to be the family of God. Amen? Jesus is the head, we're His body. Christ filling all of us and in all of us. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what it's supposed to be. And people who are not devoted to gathering together with their spiritual family are missing out. Just going to be honest with you. Because I love what God speaks to me personally. Amen? But I'm telling you, there's things He speaks to me corporately that I don't hear personally, and vice versa. So you need both. Does that make sense? Not trying to cloud the waters here, but it's both. We need to have intimate life where God, where we're devoted to the word, we're devoted to worship and prayer, but we also need to be devoted to the people that we're in fellowship with. And we're to be devoted and make a priority of gathering together whenever the opportunity is there for us to gather together. Amen? Hallelujah. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. But I'm talking about a devotion. Can I just say this respectfully? Not to spectate, but to participate. Amen? To not just spectate, but to participate. One of the things I like about our size is, you know, it's not so much about the performance, what goes on up front, but it's kind of like cramming a big living room together. It's kind of neat that way. But at the same time, God's called us to grow. Everybody said this, we're going to grow, amen? Yeah. Hebrews said, let us not forsake our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day of the Lord drawing near. So that verse speaks to our generation. For the day of the Lord is drawing near, and it's time for us to be devoted to assembling together at every opportunity. Let me just say this. Let me just ask the Lord today in prayer to give you a value for assembling together. Yes. And I'll be honest with you, I love Sunday mornings, but I just as much love our Wednesday night, Friday night prayer groups too. I love any time I get together with any of the saints and we pray and we worship and we see God. It's dynamic. Are y'all with me? It's uniquely different depending on, and that's the beauty of the body of Christ, the family of God, is it not? It's the beauty of how it works. We need to value that time we have together in that area. Fellowship, by the way, is not a barbecue. And there's nothing wrong with you having a barbecue. Invite me. I will be there. But what I'm talking about a fellowship in the spirit. Amen? I'm talking about a fellowship that's based around, again, worship and prayer and the word of God. Amen? Ministering to one another in the spirit. Amen? I mean, it's that type of fellowship. That's what koinonia means. It's the common bond we have that's in the spirit. And it's not about our skin tone, our age, our gender. It's about being one in the spirit of God. Amen? And it's a deep fellowship. And we need to press and be more committed than ever to that fellowship. Amen? When Paul closed his letter to the second Corinthians letter, he said this: may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Notice that. So really, our fellowship that's with us all, our common bond, is our fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't you just love it when different people, God shows them things and they share things and God just has this tapestry of how he's speaking to us. Don't you love it? And we're in worship and there's the spontaneity, and I'm not saying we're doing it perfect, but I'm telling you, more and more the church needs to enter into this. Amen? And this is what God has for us. And the fourth area, and there's only four. The fourth area is devotion. Get this now, this may surprise you. Being devoted to laboring in his harvest. We ought to be equally as devoted in while we're still left on this planet, which is to reach the lost. Amen? See, the early church, they understood the apostolic mandate that had been given, which was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation and make disciples. They lived that. They planted churches from that concept and understanding, and therefore they were devoted to it. And I think because they were devoted, hear my heart, I believe because they were devoted to this just as much as everything else in their Christian walk, it caused them to have a day-by-day harvest taking place. And I believe God wants that for us in all the churches of this metro area. Amen? Phoenix was the fastest growing city in America last year. And I can guarantee you, most people moving here aren't saved. Okay? I'm not being ugly. I'm just saying it's the truth. There is plenty of harvest here. Amen? And I love when we go out and we reach out to the Apache and Navajo Nation and all of that. But I'm telling you, we need to see a harvest here day by day. Anybody with me? But we got to be committed to it. Got to be committed to the harvest. Amen? Hallelujah. And here's the thing I want to bring to your attention. There is a particular joy, a particular life-giving joy that really only comes from people getting saved. I like to put it this way: when there's new sheep in the house. You know what I'm saying? There's something it brings. You know what I'm talking about? If you've been around a revival, move of God, or something started to happen, there's something that people will talk about. It brings a greater joy. It's the greatest joy. Jesus taught a parable about a man who obviously was a shepherd, but one of his sheep got away. And the Bible says he left the 99, obviously it's a parable. He left the 99 together in the flock, and he went out looking for the one that was lost. And we all know the story. When he found the one, you remember what he said? With great joy, he celebrated with all of his friends that he found the one sheep that was lost. Now, when Jesus shares this parable, here's the next thing that he says. I tell you, get this, in the same way, there will be more joy, if I say more joy, in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Now, that does not mean he doesn't rejoice over us when we gather together. All right? We gather in for the people, everybody's saved. No, mean he doesn't rejoice over us. But he says, there's more joy. What really gets heaven dancing? Are you with me? What really gets a throwdown party going on is when people get saved. Are you with me? Because see, God wants his family to grow. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Everybody say, more joy. You might say, well, I don't know, Pastor. Well, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I send you. And what did Jesus come for? To destroy the works of the devil and seek and save that which was lost. And that's our mandate too. Amen? Kingdom of God come, will of God be done. Amen? That's our heart. And Jesus said, you say there's 4 months and then comes the harvest. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look. Everybody say look. Hey, you lift up your eyes and not look. Right? Have you ever just gazed and not even seen what was in front of you? And that's why a lot of Christians live their lives with the people we're around every day. And the Lord says he wants us to look and see that the fields are ripe in the harvest. In other words, what was Jesus saying? It's always harvest time. Quit trying to lay it for another time. Quit trying to put a 4-month window on it. It's always harvest time if you lift up your eyes and look round about you. Amen? Hallelujah. Think about this. Everyone you and I see, I don't care if you're in the line at Home Depot or at Taco Bell with Walmart. He shocked me when he told me that he loved Taco Bell. I just wasn't expecting that from my Mexican brother. He said it was so authentic, but anyway. I don't care where you are in life. Think about this. Everybody you're looking at or that cashier you're engaging with, whatever, they're either saved or lost. They either know God or they don't. I mean, guys, it's that real. It's that real. And I don't mean this in a judgmental way. I don't mean it condemning people or looking down on them. It's just to look at them through the eyes and the love of Jesus. Amen? And the compassion of God. Could it be, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready? Are you ready for my question? Is it possible for us as believers in Christ to look at every person we meet with love and compassion of the Lord? Is that possible? That we can look and see there's a potential for harvest. Now, how many of you know that ain't going to happen if you're not devoted to the harvest? If we're not devoted to seeing people one to the Lord. I'm praying God restores that in our hearts. I mean, we're worshiping and praying church for the most part, and I know we love the Word and all of that. We can always do more devotion to that. And I'm telling you, we need to be devoted in this area. Amen? I'm hearing more and more messages. I know Irene sent me a message from Bill Johnson talking about harvest time. And all that. I'm such a confirmation in my heart. But I'm so glad that Bill checks in with me before he preaches. Well, I'm asking this question. Did Jesus die for the sins of the whole world? He did. But is everybody in the whole world going to get saved? No. We know that. But he died for everybody. He paid the price. In fact, it says in the scripture, he wishes that none would perish, but that everyone would come into the knowledge of the truth. So what does that tell me? I'm not here to qualify and disqualify. I'm here to say, man, I'm going to love you and speak the truth and love to you and have compassion with you and believe that God's going to be on your heart. Are y'all with me? And so that's the way we need to live. There was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus, and we know the story, right? He kept asking the Lord, what must I do to be saved? How may I have everlasting life? And we all wrote down, Jesus talked about love and loving your neighbor, but then he said, there's one thing else you must do. Because the rich young ruler kept saying, I've done all that, I've done all that, I've done all that, I've done all that. I used to be that way. I'm a good guy. I'm a great guy. I've done all that. I've done all that. Y'all have all been waving with me. You've done it too. And the Lord said, there's something else you need to do. Now remember, he's a rich young ruler, very wealthy. He said, you need to sell everything, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he didn't say, I've done all that. Suddenly the cat got his tongue, as we say, right? And he turned around dejected, and he walked away. And in Mark's gospel of that story, it said, get this, when Jesus looked upon him, he felt love for him. That even with the Lord of glory looking upon him in love, he chose to walk away from that love. Now, I'm not saying this to try to say, well, we're not going to win many people to the Lord. No, the Bible's clear. There will be a great end time harvest. Amen? Amen? Yes, there's been a lot of falling away of believers, and that's sad. It saddens my heart, but it was prophesied it would happen. And I'm telling you, there's a fresh harvest out there, and there's a lot of prodigal sons and daughters that are going to come home. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. The harvest, Jesus said, is plentiful. So what's he saying? There's never going to be an issue where you could say, there's not even harvest here. Certainly we could not say this in metropolitan Phoenix. Hello? Hello? We could not say that here. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but what? The laborers are few. Amen? And then what did he ask us to do? He didn't say pray for more harvest. He said, beseech the Lord of the harvest. Well, whose harvest is it? It's his. He paid for it with his blood. Amen? With his sacrifice, he purchased those souls. Right? He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And in that teaching that we were listening to, Bill Johnson said in the Greek, it means, and I looked it up too, it means to thrust out. What if we lived every day as we were being thrust out into the harvest? Amen? Not passively even about the harvest, but believing that God could be opening doors and opportunity. Anybody want to have the look of love? The look of compassion? Amen? Anybody with me? The look of the kingdom, of the master? Amen? He wants to give us that. Because see, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and died for me. It's no longer Rick, but it's the love of Jesus looking through and speaking through Rick and through Omar and whoever, right? Amen? To be sent out into his harvest, to labor. Those who sow with tears will reap with joy. Again, there's a joy we're missing out on. There's a joy we're missing out on when we're not enjoying what it means to go and reach people for Christ. I believe we're missing out on it. And our success is only really dependent on two things. Number one, the Lord is with us. Hello. The Lord is with us. In fact, let's take it up a notch. Not that this is higher than the Lord being with us, but we don't think about this. He said the angels, his angels, he's the Lord of the angelic army, his angels are sent forth for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. So not only is the Lord's Spirit working with you and through you on that person's heart, there's angels arranging for you to have divine appointments. And then secondly, I want you to get this and understand my heart when I say it. His harvest is our harvest too. Because we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Now, you and I didn't pay for it, right? We didn't give our lives for it. We didn't shed our blood for the harvest. But Jesus has brought us in as a joint heir with him. Amen. So in the spirit realm, when I'm praying and believing and seeking God, we have a right to the harvest.
Yes.
Yes. There's a lot of amens in the front row. Some of y'all looking at me like, I don't know about that one. But I'm telling you guys, we are joint heirs with Jesus. Amen? And he is the Lord of the harvest. I didn't say you were Lord. I just said you're part of his harvest. Amen? Now, David, we know, was a man after God's own heart, right? David had a heart after God. His heart was devoted to the heart of God. But he did allow the lure of a beautiful woman, Bathsheba, to set a trap for him. Amen? And we all know the story. He had a lapse in his devotion with God. Here's what the scripture said. At a time when kings go to war, David remained home and sent his armies out. He didn't go with them. And the rest is history. He sees this beautiful woman bathing on a rooftop, and we all know what falls into place. But can we, you know, he had a lapse in his devotion to his calling. And we've all been there, haven't we? At some point, we've done things. It was because we weren't doing what we were called to do that we were set up for that. Amen? That's why when we have devotions to things that are carnal and worldly, God calls them idols. Right? I know people that, I'm just being honest with you, they're more devoted to other things that are fleshly. And there's nothing wrong. For example, I know some people that they wouldn't miss going to the gym, but they're devoted to it. And there's really nothing wrong with that. You want to be in good shape, good health, and all that? If you want that. But my point is, none of these things that we do, these disciplines and devotions in our life, should override our devotion for the Lord. Amen? Come on. Where's our priorities? Hallelujah. Okay, I'll move on. Pull your toes back out. But for whatever reason, I don't know. It doesn't say. David let his guard down. And we see here something here. A man, even in the New Testament, who's called a man with a heart after God, who fulfilled all of God's purposes for his generation. Even that man, when he let his guard down, he backed away from his devotion to serve God in the way he had been anointed to serve, he fell into a trap. Which I think is a lesson for us, and why it's in Scripture is not to embarrass David, but to warn us to keep our hearts devoted to the things of the Lord. Amen? Because that's where the life source is. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. Whew. Check your heart devotions. Give him a devoted heart. Let him do a work in you. Amen? How many know, how many of you have tried to just be disciplined? Whew. How many of your heart's not in it? It's just religious legalism. And it might be good things you don't need to be or need to be doing, but the bottom line is your heart's not in it, therefore there's no life in it. There's no life in it. You can even do worship songs with no life in them if your heart's not in it. It could be your favorite one and it still didn't move you because your heart wasn't in it. It's about devotion to the right things, because we can't give out to others what we haven't received. Discipline alone is a form of godliness that has no power, but a discipline of the heart, that's true devotion. Amen? And that true devotion will take us into places with God where there's overflowing everlasting life. Hallelujah. God is good. Now, go with me to a familiar passage, but I want us to look at it this morning. Philippians 2, verse 12. Philippians 2, verse number 12. Hallelujah. Got to talk to my praise team next door. They're getting ahead of me. Philippians 2, verse number 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with what? With fear and trembling. Now look at this next part. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now please get that. Who's at work in us? Who's at work in us? God. But for what purpose? For his good pleasure. Amen? That he could work through us his good pleasure. You've got to listen to the Passion Translation of this. Are you ready? Listen. My beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I were right there with you. Say devotion. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested. I love that. Anybody want that? As you live in holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into his presence, God, get this, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. Does anybody want that? I want to be continually revitalized with the passion to do what the Lord wants to do through me. Anybody out there? This is what he is. This is what he is, isn't it? And that's where even the worship was going. This is the refreshing. It's the infusion of God's life that we so need. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Sometimes by the end of the mission season, I'm like, I'm needing some real revitalization. I'm not even talking physical. I'm talking spiritual. You just need it, right? You need that second wind, so to speak. The Amplified put it this way. Get this. It's God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. Wow. Oh, Lord, don't we need that today? Don't we need that in our churches? Hallelujah. And it's through our devotion to worship and prayer that we experience God. It's through our devotion to his word. Our devotion to one another in assembling together as the body of Christ. It's through these things. And what happens is, you'll find you have a fresh devotion to reach the lost. Your whole purpose for being on the planet, which is to be salt and to be light, to be a witness. Amen? To be a city set on a hill in a dark place. That's what God's called us to be. But too many Christians are running on empty. Right? It's a pretty car. It's all polished up and ready to go, but there's nothing in the tank. And we need to have his fuel in our tank. Amen? Spiritually dehydrated people sometimes don't even know they are. Right? Just like I said earlier, until the doctor tells you, you are greatly dehydrated. In fact, it's so bad, I'm going to stick an IV in your arm and you can't leave until you get a drink. I'm going to force you to drink. Maybe we need to do that in church. Just lay everybody out on the floor and force them to. We need some Holy Ghost IVs. Amen? Hallelujah. Now I'm getting everybody nervous. So I think it's time to go now. I'm getting a little late here. Time for lunch. Wow. And he's going to ask us to drink something here in a minute. believe, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but rarely drink from the well that came within them. They can remember the experience, but that well is always there, amen, for you to drink from. Here's a fundamental truth in the kingdom. We're to be continually filled with the Spirit, but to be filled, you must drink. You must drink of God. I tell you, it's really simple to drink of God. That's how you do it. Worship, prayer, in the Word. You just open your heart up to God, and you drink of His, and He wants to fill you. I pray that God will stir up a... How many of you have ever been dehydrated and you weren't even thirsty? You know what I mean? You're greatly dehydrated. You weren't even thirsty. I mean, we need our thirst mechanisms turned on, because you know what the Lord said? Blessed is he who hungers and thirsts, for he shall be satisfied. He shall be filled. Amen? Sometimes we need... Anybody want your thirst mechanisms cranked up? Hallelujah. Me and Pam? Okay, great. The Lord said we can leave. No, I'm just kidding. Can't leave. Hallelujah. All right. I spoke of David. I'm going to close with this, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to receive communion here in a moment. But I know of no one spoken of being more after God's heart than David, right? Most of the songs we sing were written by David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, right? He was a lover of God long before God gave him a title as king. Long before he was anointed to be king, David was a lover of God. We all know that. Most of the psalms you read were before he ever was, any fame came to his name. Are you with me? And so with that, we understand. But David also had to repent. And sometimes he would speak to his own soul, "Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let everything that's within me bless the name of the Lord." Amen? If there's one thing I'd ask that I should seek, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. My heart and my flesh long for the living God. Like a deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul longs for thee, O Lord. That's the way David was. He kept his thirst mechanisms going. And he wanted the presence of God. Even as a king, he could have had anything. But all he wanted was God and his glory. Amen? He knew that. And I think because of the Bathsheba blunder, I believe that's one of the reasons he was even more committed. He knew, I can never go back to that. I can never let myself get set up like that again. Hallelujah. Some of you need to say amen with me, because we've all done something. So he prays this prayer of repentance. The prophet confronts him. David's still trying to brush it under the rug. And the prophet confronts him, Nathan. And basically gets in his face about it. He said, "You're the man. You're the man." He gave him a little parable. He said, "You're the man I'm talking about." And David repented. He repented before God. And we read in Psalm 51, he asked the Lord to cleanse him. But then he gets to these verses that I love to use when I'm repenting. I love to use these verses. You're familiar with them. Did I give you Psalm 51? Huh? I didn't? Okay, Psalm 51, pull that up. Verse 10. He said, "Create in me a clean heart." What does he mean by that? A heart. He's wanting a heart that fully runs after God, right? He wants a heart that's divided. Divided devotions and divided loyalties. He wants a heart that's fully after God, right? Anybody want that? And then he says what else? Talk to me. Renew what? A right or steadfast spirit within me. Anybody want to be steadfast? Come on, I want to be steadfast. There's some times I've been a waffler. I could have been a manager of Waffle House. Anybody with me? But I want to be steadfast, don't you? I want to be a steadfast man. I want to have that different spirit like Joshua and Caleb. Amen? What's next? What do you pray? And do not take your Holy Spirit. Now, let me say, he was under a different covenant. And the Holy Spirit would come and go. But Jesus said this, "He's been with you and he will be in you, and I will be with you always. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you." In fact, if there's anything we should repent of in the new covenant, is that we've been living our lives like the Holy Spirit wasn't there. Quenching him and grieving him, right? Acting like he's not even around, and he never left you, so guess what? We grieve him more than we please him. And that has to change, so that's what we're going to pray today, amen? Come on, I mean, you know, I want to be able to be familiar enough with the well where I can drink whatever I want to. Hallelujah. Okay, what's the next thing he prays? Restore to me what? The joy of your salvation. Everybody look at me. Is there any greater salvation in all the world? Get this. Forgiveness. New life. Restoration. Are you with me? Freedom. Healing. There is no greater salvation. When those things are met in your life, you're satisfied. Hallelujah. Amen? And how many know we need to get joyful again about this wonderful good news that we have? Hallelujah! That's why maybe a lot of people don't listen to us, because we just drank some prune juice or something. And we're talking about the good news. Are y'all with me? Don't try it if you never have. Just trust me. And then what's the next thing? I don't know what verse number it is. Y'all are looking at the wall. Oh, this is good. Sustain me with a willing spirit. How many know that's always the issue, isn't it? Not my will. Not my will, but Lord, your will be done. And I believe with all my heart, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me years ago. I believe this with all my heart. That is a special grace to do the will of God and not do your own. I believe it's a grace from God. He sustains us with a willing spirit. Anybody want a willing spirit? Because it's one thing to know you need to do it, but it's another thing when you suddenly are willing to do it. Right? Are you with me? And ask God for that today when we pray, okay? Now, before we pray, I want to show you something amazing that happens when we rededicate our heart to the Lord in this way, to being devoted to God. Look at the next verse. Is it 13? Is that the next one? Look there with me. Everybody say, then. In other words, this is what happens after the repentance. Look what he says. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. In other words, then I will be fruitful in your harvest. Amen? Are y'all getting this? I'm getting excited. Hallelujah. I'm looking at harvesters in this room. Amen? You're harvesters for the Lord. Hallelujah. To reach the lost and disciple them. Look at verse 14, though. How many know David had a lot to repent of? I mean, he arranged for Bathsheba's husband to get killed in battle. But he was set him up to die in battle to cover his sin. And so David cries out, deliver me from what? Blood guiltiness. Oh God, the God of my salvation. Everybody look at me. There's probably nobody in this room that went that far. But how many of you know we all have some blood guiltiness? But in fact, we don't. Because his blood was shed. And all the blood guiltiness has been removed through Christ. Amen? Through the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody get happy about that. Until you don't have to live under guilt and regret the rest of your life. I don't care how bad you messed up. I don't care. He doesn't care because Jesus paid the penalty. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say, and the Lord will open my mouth to praise you. That's a way to get your praise back. You can't praise him when you're under the guilt and regret all the time. It's hard to praise him. You just do it out of just strictly obeying the worship leader, but you're not really in it. And I'm telling you, that needs to change. Amen? Think about this. He's removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. East and west don't ever meet. He's removed it from us. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Another scripture says he's cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. And as we partake of the table this morning, as we partake of what is the cup represent, everybody? Come on. The blood, the shed blood, your redemption, right? The covenant, precious and magnificent promises that are every one of them, yes. Hallelujah! Not by my experience, but by the word, they're yes. And then, what does the blood represent? The broken body of Jesus that took the penalty, that bore the piercings and the stripes and the beating, that bore upon his body so that you and I wouldn't have to suffer for our sins, because the law demanded you suffer. The wages of sin is death. Amen? And we remember that today as we partake of the Lord. So everybody say with me today, no more blood guiltiness. Come on. No more blood guiltiness. I am justified by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am no longer a slave of fear, but I am a child of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Close your eyes for just a moment. I don't want anybody looking around, anybody else. It's just me looking around. But I just want to pray for you right now, today. If you're battling with condemnation, I just want to tell you today, if you're in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. No longer. Because see, he took your condemnation upon himself so you can be free from it. The enemy's accusing some of you and lying to some of you and tormenting some of you. And all you've got to do is make a stand by the blood and the word of your testimony, and the enemy's mouth is shut. And he will not be able to condemn you anymore. Lord, today in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that foul, accusing spirit of the enemy. And I take authority over him by your blood today, Lord. By anyone who partakes of this communion today, Lord God, that your blood will completely silence the enemy. And that accusation, no longer, no condemnation. I release over you today the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mercies of God to be upon you today and the power to repent and be sustained today in the presence of God. Now, if you would, keep your eyes closed and just lift your countenance to heaven and pray out loud with me this morning. Everyone pray with me. We're going to pray the word of God now, but I want you just to connect your heart to heaven. Don't look on the wall and read it. Just pray as I lead you today. Create within me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew in me a steadfast spirit that I may do all of your will in every situation. Restore to me, O Lord, the joy of your salvation that is so great and so free. I am joyful. Say hallelujah. Come on, say hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Holy Spirit, help me to live fully aware of your presence that is continually and constantly in my life. For you never leave me, nor do you ever forsake me. You are with me always, even unto the end of the age. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Cleanse my consciousness from dead works to no longer grieve you or quench you. Precious Holy Spirit, fill my heart and life and lead me into victory. Lord, today I ask for your grace that you would sustain me with a willing spirit to always do your will. Whew. Lift your hands and keep praying. Lift up your hands. I'm just going to pray over you right now. I pray over you this morning that the new life that every one of you have already received will begin to be fully manifested in you. And then overflowing from your heart and your life. That it will begin to truly flow out of your innermost being as you minister to others and in the body of Christ. I declare over you today, Freedom Gate Church, you are the house of God and you are the gate of heaven. It is God who is at work in you. He is strengthening you. He's energizing you. He's creating in you a longing and an ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure. May the Lord continually revitalize you as you set your heart in devotion to prayer, to worship, to the Word of God, and to your spiritual family. I bless you to have a heart that is implanted with passion and devotion to the Most High God. Abundant life to you. Abundant life to you now in the mighty name of Jesus. And would you just say, I receive that. Let it be unto me according to the Word of God in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's just stay in an attitude of prayer. And let's just pass the elements out. And then, Omar, are you going to do the communion prayer today, or somebody who would like to do that? Would you just wait? We're all going to receive it at the same time. So just hold on to your cup and the bread until everyone's been served. And then we'll close with communion today.